Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to the Raptors Reaction Podcast for Yahoo Sports Canada. I'm your host, William Liu, speaking to you after the Toronto Raptors lost by a score of 109-102 against the Philadelphia 76ers. This is the second game that the Raptors have played the Sixers in the span of 3 days. And not quite the same result. I think it was still a very hard-fought game, and I think coming into this game, we would realistically have expected a split from the Raptors. It is very difficult to beat a good team two times in a row. And especially a team that, you know, has versatile pieces, you know, on the roster, can adjust, you know, a coaching staff that can adjust. And just, look, Doc Rivers has taken a hit recently. I think, obviously, when you blow 3-1 leads, 3-1 leads, you know, you're going to get some heat on you, whatever. But at the same time, you know, you compare how differently the Sixers played in these two games as compared to how similarly the Bucks played in those two losses that they had against the Raptors is different. Whereas the Bucks really didn't change much other than putting in, like, Thanasis Adenokumbo randomly, which, I mean, come on, what was that really going to do? Whereas the Sixers actually, I think, made pretty good adjustments, especially in the first quarter where they had a huge lead. Just, you know, they jumped all over the Raptors, 37-18. They had no Seth Curry tonight. They put Furkan Korkmaz in, and Furkan Korkmaz torched the Raptors. Spoiler alert, he's already the Gerald Henderson Award winner. You don't even need me to tell you that. You knew that just from watching this game. Korkmaz had 16 points in the first quarter alone, and that included four threes. That included four free throws as well. That included a three-point foul and then also a technical free throw that he knocked down. You know, it was bad. And I think, look, the Sixers just did a better job of recognizing sort of how the Raptors are going to defend them, right? Because clearly the Raptors' defensive scheme worked pretty well against the Sixers. It worked well that the Raptors pretty much ran it again tonight. And I really don't have that many issues with the Raptors' defense tonight. But in the first quarter, my main issue is not schematically. It was just in terms of energy, the Raptors were a step slow tonight, and all the guys admitted it. At least in the first quarter, they tightened up and everything was good from there on. But that first quarter kind of killed them. And the Sixers did a really good job of spacing the floor. That's one of the biggest issues with the Sixers. When you have, you know, a post-up player like Embiid, but then you also have another non-shooting wing like Simmons who has the ball a lot and handles, you can get into situations where their spacing is bad. And if you have you watched any Sixers games, you can tell that some games they just don't space the floor well. And when they do that, it makes it really easy to lock down on the paint, send doubles, especially a team like the Raptors who are very good at doubling and rotating. Again, outside of the first quarter tonight where they were bad at it. But, you know, their spacing just looked a lot better. Like, it was a lot cleaner. And what I mean by that is if Embiid is posting up on the block and on one side of the floor, then you have shooters, two shooters stationed on the opposite side of the floor. You can kind of kick out, swing, into the corner, open three. And there was a lot of that from the Sixers, and a lot of that was Furkan Korkmaz, who, again, just torched the Raptors early on. Of course, you know, he had to look up numbers, and he coming into this game, he was a 31% shooter from three. But, you know, he's obviously a guy who can shoot, and, Yeah, good for the Sixers. So they jumped all over the Raptors, and it took the Raptors a huge effort to just sort of slowly climb back in. But I do like the effort that the Raptors showed, and I'll say that much for sure. I think, first off, the Raptors won the second quarter defensively, and they went from the Sixers scoring 37 points to 18 points. The scoring went 37, 18, 24, and then 30. And really, the Sixers only scored 30 in the fourth quarter because the Raptors literally extended the game by another half hour just through intentional fouling. And basically just like, you know, the comparison I made on Twitter was the Raptors pulled up to the drive-thru window at 11:59 p.m. and ordered 12 Big Macs. Combo. It's not even just a sandwich, like literally the whole combo. And the Sixers had to play it out. I mean, look, literally the Raptors were down like 10 points with a minute left. Generally speaking, that's just a game you just call, right? But the Raptors were pressing full court. They were trapping. They were intentionally fouling. Danny Green was throwing bad passes, as he does. And, you know, the Raptors were making this weird little comeback. And the Raptors were drawing up after timeout plays and, you know, inbounding and substituting and putting full court pressure. It was really fun. Obviously, the Raptors were never going to win that, but it was good practice, I thought. And it was really good. I mean, especially since the Raptors didn't play the first quarter, why not play a little bit extra of the fourth quarter? I didn't mind that at all. And, in fact, the idea of frustrating the Sixers and sort of getting them to slip up once or twice, I mean, it's great. I mean, the Raptors did the same thing to them. If you remember last season, the Raptors lost to the Sixers in Philadelphia, and they started doing this like full court press, and the Sixers were starting to turn it over. The Raptors were down like 20 points in the fourth quarter, and they're doing that. I didn't mind that, but nevertheless, I thought the Sixers' game plan for the Raptors well to start, but the Raptors honestly locked down defensively from that point onward. And if you look at things from, you know, game to game, you have to say that absolutely the Raptors did a good job on Joel Embiid once again. I would say even better job against Embiid, which I didn't think was actually possible given the fact that the Raptors no longer have the same size on the interior as they once did last season with Mark and Serge. But it was pretty effective, and you really have to hand it to Baines. He was really good in both these games. That first game, Embiid shot 6 of 20. He got 14 free throw attempts and got to 25 points. Whatever, the free throws are the free throws, whatever, man. He's going to get some free throws, but he still shot 20 times, and I think the Raptors still want to limit his attempts. And today, Embiid only took 13 field goal attempts. He made his second basket late in the third quarter on a step back, you know, three, some just an absolute BS shot. Finished the game 3 of 13 from the field, had 6 turnovers. I mean, the Raptors just swarmed the hell out of this guy. And of course, he got his standard 12 free throws because, you know, you just have to. I mean, listen, if anyone, you know, breathes in the vicinity of Joel Embiid, if anyone violates his COVID safety protocol somehow, but just by being in a 6-foot space, that's an automatic foul. It's in the NBA rule book this season. Whereas if Norman Powell gets dragged down out of midair by his wrists and collapses to the ground, there is no foul in the play, and in fact Norman Powell should be assessed a technical for thinking there should be a foul. That was ridiculous, and I'll get to that. But Raptors did an amazing job on Embiid, honestly, and Embiid looked mad tired at the end, sweating. The Raptors obviously were pressing him, stuff like that, but yeah, 18 points for Embiid, 3 of 13 shooting, and you have to give a lot of that credit to Baines for the initial defense. I mean, Baines shot a better percentage from the field than Embiid did. Baines was 5 of 10 with a 3 involved, so you know, Baines was really good in that role, and this is why the Raptors brought Baines in, to do this kind of stuff. And it's hard to say Baines looked really good when there was also one play tonight that was absolutely the play of the game, where Matt Thomas drove baseline, drew two defenders to him. Baines was, you know, spotting up for a little push shot. Instead, he literally shot the shot behind him. Like, the ball slipped coming out of his hand, and the ball literally traveled farther away from the Sixers basket than whatever, man. It's a hilarious play. If you haven't seen it already, go watch it. But in any case, Baines was really good, and I don't really want to bring negativity towards him. He was really good tonight, and I thought the Raptors did a really good job of just, like, executing their schemes around him. I thought earlier on, Embiid did a good job of getting the ball out, but the Raptors became, instead of sort of laying off that pressure and letting Embiid kind of play more one-on-one and sticking closer to the shooters, Raptors did a better job of just attacking his dribble. If you're going to double, really double-team this guy, okay? Really, really double. And I thought guys like Fred were awesome at doing this. I mean, Fred tonight was sensational defensively. Offensively, you can question it, okay? He didn't shoot a good percentage, not nearly as good as he did last game, where he was phenomenal. But having said that, two steals, four blocks, and Fred forced like three jump balls as well. Like, it was wild seeing him just get in there and just disrupt people, man. This guy was swiping Ben Simmons. This guy was swiping Joel Embiid repeatedly. There was one play right before, you know, again, Ben Simmons just literally tackled, you know, Norm Powell out of midair with no foul called on the play. Where right before that, there was a jump ball between Joel Embiid and Fred VanVleet. And the reason there was a jump ball between the two of them was because Embiid was trying to force his way against Baines. And Fred got in there and swiped and broke his dribble three times before finally tying him up. This guy swatted the ball out of his hands three times on the same possession. You know how wild that is. And of course, Embiid tips the ball and Norm got in the fast break. And Simmons got away with murder, as he does. But they did a really good job defensively against Embiid. And I thought they did a good job against Simmons as well. Simmons wasn't nearly as physical in terms of, like, you know, we saw in that first game, you're just punching through guys. I mean, today he was just punching through Norm with no foul. Again, I don't understand this officiating crew. And again, I just have to point out, it's been the same official that threw out Kyle Lowry, and it was in another game as well. These games have not gone well, and it's been an absolute refereeing show in all these games. But in any case, Ben Simmons was not as physical going to the basket. I thought the Raptors did a better job putting size on him, not giving him as much space to separate and elevate. And yeah, you know, you could live with the effort that Simmons gave you. And listen, if you play this kind of defense, you're going to give up some threes. And the Raptors gave up some threes. The Sixers are not necessarily a high-volume three-point shooting team, but when you force Embiid and Simmons out of the paint, they are going to kick it out, and guys made their shots. And that's why, you know, you can't be too mad at, you know, the result. I mean, Tobias Harris, 3 of 4 from three. Most of those are open. You know, Danny Green, 3 of 9 from three. Most of those are open. Korkmaz, you know, he cooled off significantly after the first quarter, but this guy, you know, was open for a lot of his shots. And Shake Milton, the same deal. So, you know, it's you kind of live with that. And the weird thing is just on the flip side, the Raptors were not able to get their three-point shooting going. I thought the Raptors obviously shot the ball beautifully in the first game. You know, Chris Boucher had that ridiculous stretch off the bench. Fred was hitting some huge threes. The two of them combined for 10 threes in the first game. This game, the two of them combined for only 4 three-point attempts. And I think the Sixers did a better job of containing initial penetration and sort of, you know, getting up on guys. Obviously, when you get burned by Boucher two nights earlier, you're going to know to this time respect this jumper a little bit more. But you know, Raptors overall shot 11 of 37, and you had guys who had tons of open looks. Norm Powell, OG Anunoby, OG was 2 of 7, Norm was 2 of 9. These guys had a lot of open looks that just did not go down. And, you know, even Terrence Davis had a missed open shot that would have cut the lead to the deficit to 7 points early in the fourth quarter. You know, Norm had a wide open three that, you know, didn't drop. Fred had some open threes that didn't drop. You know, Pascal shot 1 of 6. He had some rushed attempts, but you know, honestly, just sometimes games come down to variation in three-point shooting. And, you know, the Raptors actually did a better job of scoring in the paint than the Sixers, which is wild to me. Obviously, you look at the Sixers, how big they are. They're bigger than the Raptors across all the positions. And yet, the Sixers scored 30 points in the paint, and the Raptors scored 54 points in the paint. Now, part of that difference is that the Raptors fouled the Sixers a bunch near the basket to prevent them from scoring points in the paint. But they did shoot, you know, 30 free throws as compared to 13 for the Raptors. So, you know, that number is not as lopsided. But the fact that the Raptors had that much success in the paint against the Sixers is pretty amazing. And I think that that does show some maturity in the offense, that they're able to get guys going a little bit more. You know, I thought Davis got some good looks. He had a stretch there where he scored like, you know, 6 straight points. You know, Baines got, you know, a few dunks in. Some of those against Embiid, you know. Norm got to the basket quite a bit. Pascal got to the basket quite a bit. And, you know, that's against one of the toughest paint defenses in the league. Like, the Sixers are not easy to score against because they have Joel Embiid, who's in the paint all the time, no three-second call ever. They have Dwight Howard as his backup, and, you know, I'm just going to leave that at that. I just, you know, don't want to have another Jim Boylan moment. Or not a Jim Boylan moment. What was it? John Beilein moment. But, you know, Tobias Harris, he's pretty big, you know, and Simmons also a very, very physical defender who, you know, I mean, he does have one block on his ledger tonight, which, you know, should be a foul and really a flagrant. But in any case, you know, he's a very athletic defender as well, who's very big. So, it's not easy to score on the paint against the Sixers is what I'm trying to say. And the Raptors did a really good job of that. So I think there's lots of positives to take from this one, even though the Raptors, you know, trailed from the start and couldn't really catch up. So they kind of lost wire to wire. But I love the effort that they gave tonight. And I like the fact that they made life so difficult for the Sixers down the stretch. Again, completely needless, completely unnecessary, except for the fact that the Raptors just said, screw you. Yeah, we're playing a back-to-back tomorrow night. We don't care. We're just gonna use this as practice. You know, we're going to practice some end-of-game plays here. We're going to practice different situations, some scenarios. You know, let's practice our full-court press. Let's practice our traps on the inbounds. Let's practice, you know, our out-of-timeout plays. Let's, you know, we got a new coaching staff right now, right? Because Chris Finch was just hired by the Timberwolves, and you know, Sergio Scariolo, one of the other three lead assistants, is in quarantine because he just came back from overseas coaching the Spanish national team in Poland, I believe. So the Raptors got a, you know, makeshift coaching staff. You know, they literally, like, it's next man up, but it's with coaches. And you know, you got Coach Jama, who coached the he's been an assistant coach with the Raptors for a while, even under Dwayne Casey. Then he coached the 905, and now he's come back to the NBA, and you know, he got a chance to sort of sit front row. Assistant coach John Goodwillie got a chance to sit front row. He's the really tall guy, 6'7". You know, he used to be a longtime video coordinator. He's Canadian as well, I believe, from Niagara Falls or that area, St. Catharines. But in any case, he got a chance to sit right beside Nick Nurse. And you know what? Listen, it's a makeshift coaching staff, so let's give the coaching staff an opportunity to try new stuff and get some end-of-game reps. So I love the way the Raptors approached it. And yeah, they were always fighting a losing battle, but I would much prefer the Raptors to fight than for them to just call it quits. And I like that about them. So in terms of other positives, I thought Pascal's handle looked a lot better. And I never say that, because Pascal's handle is something that sometimes can look really silly and sloppy, right? And, you know, he's sometimes it limits him from getting to the spots that he wants to go. Sometimes it, because his handle isn't as tight, it prohibits him from driving in opportunities where he could potentially drive, except for the fact that his handle is being cut off or swiped at or checked or anything like that, you know. But, you know, Pascal did a really good job using his handle to create space. And I'm not saying he did some Kyrie Irving stuff, you know, no Jamal Crawford double behind the back, you know, nothing like that. You know, we're not even talking about, you know, the dribble package that Matt Thomas has. But, you know, he was getting guarded by Ben Simmons, who, again, very physical defender, very, very aggressive defender. You know, he likes to play that sort of super aggressive style where he'll bump into you and you know, nearly kill Norman Powell in the process. And again, I just really dislike Ben Simmons at this point. He's just, yeah, anyway, just I don't even like the Mona Lisa anymore. That's how much I dislike Ben Simmons. But, you know, Pascal, I mean, he was able to use his dribble and drop Simmons. Like, and again, it's nothing too complicated, you know, but it's sort of just like the quick twitch, right to left, change directions, pivot, stop, get to the basket. It was really, really fun to watch. You know, you don't usually see Pascal beat guys like that. You don't see Pascal drop guys. And he did that tonight. And I think most defenders are overplaying against him because they know they can attack him. But listen, if he just has some basic moves that he can continuously use, right? Like that he can sort of use that crossover to get him some space. He's so quick. He's so athletic. He's so long. He doesn't need that much space created for him. Like, he doesn't need to cross a guy, drop him entirely just to get an open shot. No, literally shifting the guy's weight, putting his momentum against him, and then going to the basket, like judo style. Like, that's kind of all you really need from Pascal. And I thought Pascal did a really good job of that. At least three or four times tonight, I was like, you know, audibly gasping at my television. Or my laptop, let's be real, who's watching television? Just at Pascal's handle. And I thought he did a really good job tonight. You know, he had to obviously take some shifts against Embiid, had to, you know, battle Dwight Howard a few times. Again, no John Beilein comments from me, but, you know, 9 of 18 from the field for Pascal, got to the basket, you know, was really good. And the assists, this guy's had like 7 straight games now of 6 assists or more. Actually, let me get the specific number. I just feel like sometimes I just throw stats out there and no one's here to check me. Maybe I should, you know, be an accurate reporter once in a while and actually look it up. I don't know if it's 7 straight games, but I'll pull up the game logs. And yeah, okay, so 6 assists against Minnesota, 6 against Milwaukee, 5 against Milwaukee, 6 against Minnesota, 8 against Philly in the first game. So I was off by one. One of those games he was only at 5. Whoops, my bad. But yeah, seriously, like 7 straight games now where he's, or 6 straight games now where he's had over 5 or more assists. And I thought his playmaking was good. You know, it's nothing, again, it's nothing too flashy. It's not like he's going to kill the whole defense, break everyone down, drop everybody, and then throw some ridiculous dime. He doesn't need to do that. But again, because defenses are so shifted towards Pascal, even the simple plays, running the break correctly, driving, reading the defender, a quick early pass, you know, working the pick and roll, you know, finding a short roll, finding the shooters, you know, working in the post, kicking it out. Pascal's playing a good rhythm tonight, man. And again, like, the Sixers are a tough matchup for him because, again, they have two really, really tough defenders with Simmons and also Embiid at the basket. But Pascal did a really good job. And there were only a few occasions where I thought he forced it. And really he had an efficient night, especially if you're looking at the two-point shots, man, because he shot 1 of 6 from three. And that's whatever. Like, we know he's an inconsistent shooter. But he was good. I thought Bembry had some really nice moments. He swarming Ben Simmons, you know, causing a turnover. You know, Bembry's a little bit of a gambler sometimes. He will give up the angle for a cut, for a drive, you know, when he overplays. But a very smart player, picks his moments the right way. And I like aggressive. If you're going to play defense aggressively, especially under Nick Nurse. He loves, you know, defenders who can create deflections and get the Raptors out on the break. And Bembry did a really good job of that. And he definitely won more than he lost. You know, obviously he's not going to create too much in the half court, but, you know, in the open floor, you know, save for one fast break that he kind of botched. Otherwise, you know, Bembry has done a really good job either finishing the play in transition or scoring in transition. Norm, thought he recovered well from that hit from Ben, which, again, Fred was asked about it after the game, and Fred said he thought Norm was going to choke somebody, like he was, or strangle somebody, like he was seeing Homer Simpson as his backcourt partner. But you know, but seriously though, Norm, dangerous play, and I'm actually really happy he's somehow unscathed from it, because he fell really hard. It was a scary fall, which is what happens when you get pulled out of midair. Somehow the referees didn't hear that, though. I mean, listen, I'm going back to this play, and this is the last time I'll talk about it because I don't want to belabor it too much. It just continues to bother me because it's so negligent. But first off, it's a play on the ball. It's the only two players involved in the play because Norm is ahead of the pack and Simmons is chasing down from behind a step late. So all three referees should be pointing their eyes. Should have 6 eyes on the play, on the ball. There's no one else even involved. Literally everyone else has given up on the play. And even if all 6 eyes miss the fact, you know, because the guys are flying all around, right? These are world-class athletes. Maybe you don't see it, right? And maybe you just say, wow, Ben Simmons with a great chase down. Even if you don't see that for some reason, and you don't consider the fact that, wow, why did Norm Powell just fall out of the sky like that? You know, that seems suspicious. Even if you thought all of that, did you not hear that? Because he got smacked squarely across the arms. And the sound of arm on arm, the smacking of flesh, is very different than the smack of a hand on a ball. Because that sounds like a ping. That doesn't sound like a smack. So, again, even if you just didn't see it with your 6 eyes in the arena, it's an empty arena, there's nothing else there to distract you, there's only 2 players involved in the play, and they have the ball, even if that's the case, how did you not hear it? And again, this is just really frustrating. But anyways, Norm had a really good game, despite all that. I asked Norm after the game, because it feels like defenses are really keying on him in more. Like, I thought it was, you know, the first time I've seen a team where, you know, that first game against Philly, Matisse Thybulle had like 3 fouls on Norm Powell at the start of the second quarter, just trying to pressure up and aggressively sort of take him out of the play. And, you know, I asked Norm, like, are you seeing defenses tighten up more on you? And he said, yeah, pretty much. I mean, like, this game, well, this series against Philly and also that first game against the Bucks, the first time he's really noticed defenses really playing him differently. And I really commend Norm for the fact that you haven't been able to really notice that because he's continuously just finding ways to beat the defense. He's still playing his game. Like, he didn't hit the threes tonight, but those are wide open threes. And a lot of those were great looks. He got a great look at the end of the game, too, which wouldn't have affected the outcome, but still a good play ran by the Raptors, good execution, just didn't hit the shot. But Norm has been able to get into the paint. He's able to score in the paint, show no fear against Embiid, got on transition. And again, you know, whatever. The Simmons thing is what it is. You know, and, you know, they got some decent performances off the bench. You know, TD has really, become more steady in the last week or so. Baines has looked much better outside of that one circus play, which, again, that's guaranteed going to be winning Shaqt and a Fool this week. Chris Boucher, you know, didn't explode as you normally did, but, you know, he was still able to hit two threes and look good for a stretch. He just got into foul trouble, which does happen with him. Again, with the Sixers being so big, it is a problem for Boucher in terms of size. So the fact that he picked up four fouls is what kind of limited his effectiveness. And then really it's just, you know, OG and Fred, who, you know, OG was a little disappointed with his three-point shooting. You know, obviously he was on such a roll before the injury, right? Like he was, there was like a stretch there of eight straight games. He was over 50% or better from three for eight straight games. He was shooting like 60% on that stretch. He was taking six threes a game and just knocking everything down, right? He had that 30-point game against Indiana and all that. And since returning, he's 4 of 19 from 3. So I think it's clearly that he's just a little bit rusty with the jumper. And of course, there could just be some variation. Like, let's say he makes two more threes. That's, you're already approaching 40%. So, no, you're not. That just shattered the myth right there that Asians are great at math. No, but, you know, in any case, that could just be variation is what I'm trying to say. But at the same time, it does feel like he's a little bit off with his timing. You know, there were a couple of opportunities where he kind of passed up the three, or he would try, you know, he had an open look, but he would sidestep into a look that was even less open. A little strange, but he's still scoring on the inside, so that's good. But, you know, not a great game from OG in terms of scoring, and the Raptors do need that, especially against good defenses. You need everyone to step up and score, and OG, you know, was unable to capitalize on some of his looks tonight. And then Fred, honestly, man, the thing with Fred is just, you know, even if he doesn't score on tonight, you know, he would have finished in single digits had it not been for this wild, ridiculous running banked in three with Danny Green draped all over him at the end of the game when the Raptors were chasing the game. And that led Fred to finish with 12 points. But, you know, the Sixers did a really good job putting length on him. I thought Danny Green played him great, honestly, throughout the course of the game. Danny not fouling out in this game as he did in the first game was a big difference. I thought that gave the Sixers a lot more options against Fred. They also had Simmons on Fred quite a bit as well, and that kind of shut down the Raptors pick and roll game a little bit. But Fred also just missed some open shots as well. And, you know, again, that's the thing with Fred, though, is just that even though if he's not shooting the three well, or even if he's not scoring well, this guy still fills the box score, man. 8 rebounds, 8 assists, 2 steals, 4 blocks. And that's one of those qualities that I always loved about Kyle, because, listen, when you're a small guard, right, and Kyle and Fred are like, you know, 5'11 and 6 feet tall, right? And that's not even me slandering them. Like, I've stood beside them. You know, there's a video of me interviewing Fred VanVleet at a Foot Locker event, and I'm like 6 inches taller than him sitting down. It's just ridiculous. But in any case, you know, when you're short and small, your scoring is not always going to go, you know, consistently, right? It literally takes like an Allen Iverson type or like a Steph Curry type to be that consistent with your scoring when you're undersized. But having said that, though, there's no reason why you can't play a good floor game. And Fred always plays a good floor game, just like Kyle always gives you a good floor game, right? Like, you know, this is a classic Kyle Lowry shooting line is 4-14 from the field with 8 rebounds, 8 assists, 2 steals, and 4 blocks. You know, maybe he doesn't have the blocks. Maybe he'll give you a charge instead. But, you know, it all works. I'll take it all. And Fred, you know, really good defensively. So, really, I have no negative feedback on this game other than, you know, congrats to the Sixers. They took their opportunities. They made it. You know, again, congrats to their coaching staff. They did a better job adjusting, a lot better than Mike Boonholzer did. And, yeah, you know, the Sixers are a good team, man. They're 2-11. They got 2 All-Stars. Tobias Harris played All-Star-esque tonight. Was very efficient. So, you just got to hand it to them. Sometimes you just lose. And the Raptors gave their best effort and lost. It is what it is. So, in terms of your 3 stars, the first star, I'm going to have to give that to... I'll give it to Norm. Why not? 24 points, 9 of 19 shooting, 2 of 9 from 3, which is disappointing, but 4 of 4 from the free throw line, 4 rebounds, 6 assists. You don't see Norm with 6 assists that often. 3 steals as well for Norm, including one really nice cross-court pickoff pass. I think defenses always kind of underestimate, like, I think offensive players kind of underestimate Norm's length, because if he has his hands down, you look at him, you're like, he's 6'3", I can throw the pass over him. And then he just, like, spreads his, like, eagle-like wingspan because he's got like a 7'3 wingspan for some reason, despite being a guard, and he can just pick out passes on the weak side. Norm was good tonight. So really he should have more points because of the foul, but whatever. I'm not mad. The second star, I'm going to give that to Pascal Siakam. 22 points, 6 rebounds, 7 assists, 3 steals, a block, 9 of 18 from the field, 1 of 6 from 3, but 3 of 3 from the free throw line. Was really good. Had to create a lot of his own offense and did a good job of it. And then third star, honestly, I'm really tempted to give this to Baines because he did do a really good job on ball against Embiid, but Fred's overall game was just wild. Like, you know, again, the scoring is what it is. Scoring is one aspect of the game. It's a big aspect, but it's one aspect. Defense, like, if there was a real, like, I wish there was like a defensive version of like a 2010 game, because this is what Fred had. Like, he had the defensive version of a 30-point game. And that sounds ridiculous, whatever, you can clown it, but seriously, go back and watch how many deflections this guy got. It was outrageous. And again, I have to remind you that Fred VanVleet is second on the Raptors in blocks. And, you know, obviously Chris Boucher is first, but Fred VanVleet has like 27 blocks on the season. This guy's averaging more than a block a game, or almost a block a game, as, again, a 5-foot-something guard. So, you know, always boggles the mind when I see Fred defend at such a high level and so consistently. In terms of Gerald Henderson, I've already said it, Furkan Korkmaz, 19 points on the night, 7 rebounds, 2 assists. But really, the key stat is the fact that he had 16 in the first quarter, and it was it almost made you want to turn off the TV. But turns out it was a pretty interesting game. So that does it for the podcast. Thanks, everyone, for listening. In terms of news notes to pass along, so Kyle Lowry, the Raptors said, Nick Nurse said after the game, you know, he's somewhere between questionable and probable. So that sliding scale of, you know, adjectives that, I guess NBA teams and sports teams use to describe availability, probability, and, you know, honestly reminds me of if you ever played Neopets, you'll just have like, you have to feed your Neopet, and there's just like 16 different acronyms for hungry. Be like, oh, he's famished, man's is marved, or like, you know, he's starving, you know, his stomach's gurgling. Like, it just had a sliding scale. Anyway, for some reason, the questionable, doubtful, probable scale always reminds me of that Neopet thing. But in any case, feed your Neopet. It's been 20 years. Kyle, probable to return tomorrow. We'll see if that actually happens, though, because I'm not going to call Nick a liar, but sometimes Nick will give information to the media that doesn't necessarily reflect on the availability of the actual players. Like the other day, he was like, I can't start small against this team, and he started small against this team. You know, it happens, right? It's gamesmanship. It's not lying. It's gamesmanship. We'll see if Kyle comes back. To be honest, I'm a little nervous when Kyle comes back, not necessarily because I don't want him back. Absolutely, I want Kyle Lowry back. The Raptors have finally lost their first game in 2 years without Kyle Lowry tonight. Now they're 16-1. But the reason I'm a little nervous is because I remember the two times Kyle Lowry returned to the lineup last season, once against Miami and once against Houston, I believe, and there were just some real awkward shooting nights. So hopefully Kyle is ready to go. It's a back-to-back. It'd be great to have reinforcements, as you know, the Heat have been, you know, they won 3 straight after losing 3 straight, so they're still under 500 as far as I'm concerned on the season. So yeah, it would be great to have Kyle. Absolutely, every single situation would be great to have Kyle, but there are games where Kyle comes back after injury where he doesn't have his rhythm. And, you know, because he's also a high-volume player, that can sort of lead to some awkward nights. But in any case, I would like to have Kyle back, and I'm looking forward to seeing him in the lineup again. So that does it for the podcast. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Please rate, review, subscribe to the podcast. Watch Run It Back when it's out. Read 10 Things. And, thanks, everyone, for listening. So tough loss? Not even a tough loss. Just an understandable loss. It's, like, probably the happiest I've been after a loss all season. So Raptors are doing well of late, and I'll be back tomorrow to recap hopefully another great effort.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.